Years ago, it was stewardship season at a small country church. And at this church, it was the custom for people to bring their gifts forward to the front of the church. A well-known preacher was making an appeal to the people to give for a good cause. Many came to present their offerings. Among them was a little crippled girl who hobbled along at the end of the line. Pulling a ring from her finger, she placed it on the table and made her way back up the aisle. After the service, an usher was sent to bring her to the preacher's study. The preacher said, "My dear, I saw what you did, and it was beautiful. But the response of the people has been so generous that we have enough to take care of the need. We don't feel right about keeping your treasured ring, so we have decided to give it back to you." To his surprise, the little girl vigorously shook her head in refusal. "You don't understand," she said. "I didn't give the ring to you. I gave it to God." I really thought this story captures the theme of this morning's message, that no matter how small or simple or seemingly insignificant our gifts may seem, they are very precious and significant in the eyes of God. The world says that bigger is better, and only things that are large and great are significant. We live in a supersized culture, one that loves the bigger, the greater, the grander. However, God sees the world in a different light, from a different perspective. Unlike the world, God doesn't value only the biggest, the strongest, the best. God values any gift, even the smallest, tiniest, most seemingly insignificant thing that is given to him in faith and in love. The offerings we give to God are not acceptable based on their size, but on their willingness to be given, and out of the means of which we are giving them. The heart is what matters to God. And when we give to God, it's not about how much we give, but how much is in our heart when we give. We affirm that though we are small in the world's eyes, we are very great in God's eyes. And we offer to the kingdom what we offer is no less valuable than that of those with bigger means. What matters is we offer what we have out of faith and love for Christ. And such offerings are pleasing in God's sight. And God, no matter how big or small our offerings may be, they make an eternal difference in God's kingdom. And Paul emphasizes this theme throughout his letters. And today we're looking at a passage that reveals to us how God views our offerings for him. We'll see how this passage is in this passage that our attitude and our heart before God is what matters, not their size. In this season of stewardship and thanksgiving, I hope today's message will encourage you as you offer yourselves to God through your time, through your talents, and through your treasure. Today's epistle reading is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. Paul is believed to have written several letters to this church, and two of which are found in the New Testament. As with many of his letters, Paul is addressing particular issues that are affecting fledgling congregations. First century churches faced a number of challenges, both from the culture outside the church, as well as the interpersonal relationships within the church. Paul is providing guidance to this congregation as it seeks to be faithful to Christ amidst spiritual and cultural pressures. At the beginning of chapter 8, Paul embarks on a fundraising endeavor, encouraging the Corinthian church to donate generously to assist the Christian church. Many scholars believe in Jerusalem that was experiencing difficulty due perhaps to a famine or some other disaster situation in their area. Paul speaks of this offering in several letters, but pays particular attention to it here. He begins by commending the churches of Macedonia for their generosity, probably as a contrast point to the church in Corinth, as well as an inspiration for the Corinthians to step up their game in the realm of giving. Look how generous the Macedonians have been. If they can do it, you can do it too. And Paul urges the Corinthians to exhibit this same level of commitment and generosity. In verse 7, Paul says, "Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, in our love for you. So we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. Paul appeals to Christ's own generosity in verse 9. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. In reflecting upon Christ's own generosity toward the Corinthians, he urges the Corinthians to extend even greater generosity to those who are in need. Paul commends the Corinthians for the work they have already done toward this endeavor. And now Paul urges them to complete the work that they have begun. In verse 11, Paul says, "Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means." And here's the key in verse 12. "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." The Corinthians were eager at first to help their brothers and sisters in need, but the text implies that they might have become discouraged or complacent, thinking their gifts maybe weren't as good as some of the other churches who gave more. And this problem, this financial need, seemed so large to them that so many people were suffering that perhaps they thought what they had to offer wasn't going to make a difference, so why bother? Paul encourages them, however, to overcome this thinking and to stick with it and complete the work they began because it made a difference in God's eyes. God will use and multiply whatever gifts they have to give, even if they are done from a willing spirit based upon their love for Christ. The size doesn't matter, it's the proportion they're giving out of their means, not what they don't have. Paul says that should be their standard. At times it seems as if there is so much need, so many things that beg for our gifts and our attention, that we can become overwhelmed. We are a small congregation, our resources are limited. In trying to meet our own needs, as well as the needs of our community around us, we can worry that there won't be enough to go around. We may feel it is too big for us to really make any real impact at all. We may feel that our donations, our contributions, our mission projects are just small drops in a large bucket of a world filled with so many millions and so many who are suffering. And yet Paul's words should encourage us today. God is not asking our church to solve all the world's problems. He's asking us to take small steps, a pledge commitment for the coming year, a canned food item, a turkey, a batch of cookies, some school supplies, a small contribution to a special offering. None of these may seem like big things in and of themselves, and yet these all add up. Did you know that this congregation gave over $3,800 this year so far in mission donations? And this figure is beyond our regular offerings with the general fund, and they don't include the other gifts, the donated food, the meals prepared, the specific items donated to specific projects, nor does it take into account all the energy and time we put into preparing and carrying out these projects. And when you add it all up, our little church has done a lot to serve our community and has given a lot to help those in need. And in God's eyes, our offering is not small nor insignificant. Our offering is accepted by God and will be used by God to do great things for God's kingdom. We may not see the tangible results of all we are doing. We may not know the names of the people we are serving, but God does. We may not see the faces of the individuals whose lives were touched by our giving, but God does. And the seemingly small offerings we make in reality are very big in God's eyes. In Luke 21, Jesus taught his disciples this principle through a powerful object lesson. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting in their gifts in the treasury, and he also saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites, two small coins. And he said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. For these out of their abundance have put in their offerings to God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood she had." The size of the gifts doesn't matter. It is the proportion of the gift. Even our gifts given out of our small means are great in God's eyes. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, we should store up treasure in heaven. For where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. Being generous, even when our gifts seem small, are tangible ways that we store up treasure in heaven. These acts train our hearts for God's kingdom and God's kingdom priorities. We are entering a season where we will be asked to give in many different ways to our church in the forms of offering and service, but also to our community in the form of donated food and clothing and special offerings. This time of year can seem overwhelming with all the requests for gifts and service. But the Lord encourages us to be generous and to give what we can out of what we have. We can't all do it all. But together, we can do enough, and even more than enough. And God can take care of the rest and can multiply our gifts for his glory and his kingdom. Paul's advice to the Corinthians was to complete the work that they had begun. Complete the work of giving for those in need, no matter how small the offerings may seem. During this season of stewardship and thanksgiving, we should heed Paul's instructions and complete the work of giving God has called this congregation to do. As the year draws to a close, I encourage us to consider our gifts and offerings. I encourage us to complete our yearly pledges, to donate to the different mission projects, to donate a turkey or a batch of cookies or some canned goods. Make a generous donation to a special offering that might be coming up. We present our pledges, our offerings, and our special offerings, knowing that God, who has called us to do it, will be faithful in using and multiplying our gifts for the good of his kingdom. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. So remember, brothers and sisters, during this season, the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Brothers and sisters, let us complete the work of giving, knowing that no gift is too small for God to do great things with it. May we rejoice in the gifts God has given us and in what God will accomplish in us through our giving of our time and talents and resources. And may the Lord bless this message to our hearing. Amen. I invite those who are able to say, oh, we have another hymn. Maybe it got left out. Oh, we do have another hymn. Oh, we have affirmation of faith for us. Sorry, I'm a little off today. Please stand for our affirmation of faith, then we'll sing the hymn. Please join with me in the affirmation of faith. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed the blessing of the children, healing the sick, binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, and delivering us from death to eternal life.